Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I want to start today by checking in on your stress levels.
The boy.
Specifically, your digital stress levels. Because if you're anything like me, or really anyone trying to run a business right now, you open your phone, you check Slack, you check email, and it just feels like you're standing in front of a fire hose.
It's that sensation of drowning in information, but also the pressure to create more of it.
Right, it's this total double-edged sword. On one side, you've got these platforms, TikTok, Spotify, Google, YouTube, and they have, infinite shelf space.
They're hungry.
So hungry, they will take as much content as you can possibly feed them. But on the flip side, most businesses I talk to are just hitting a massive wall.
The production bottleneck, that's the
Yeah,
term for it.
exactly. Because traditionally, filling that infinite shelf space requires something that is very, very finite.
Human time.
Human time, you want a blog post, that's a writer and an editor, you want a
It's
podcast.
recording, engineering, mixing, a whole process.
You want a video? Forget about it, that's a whole crew.
And it's not just the time, it's the cost. I mean, to produce a single high-quality video or a polished podcast episode, you are easily looking at hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars.
So what happens? Companies, they just pick one lane. They say, okay, we'll just do a blog, and they ignore audio and video.
And they leave massive growth on the table because the economics of trying to be everywhere just don't make sense.
It's a resource problem. But we are looking at a stack of documents today that claims to completely, well, to smash that bottleneck,
Yeah.
we're doing a deep dive into the Auto Content API. Now, before everyone rolls their eyes and thinks, great, another AI writing tool, I want to be really clear about what we're looking at here.
This is definitely not another ChatGPT wrapper.
Right. The sources we have describe this as an industrial engine for content, which sounds intense.
It is intense, but I think it's a necessary distinction. Tools like ChatGPT or, say, Jasper are what we might call craftsman tools.
Okay.
They help a human write one thing better. This API is about moving from the craftsman era to the assembly line era.
Okay, unpack that a bit for me. Assembly line usually implies, lower quality.
In this context, it implies automated transformation. Think about it this way. Most businesses already have the knowledge they need. It's sitting in a PDF, it's locked in a boring white paper, or it's on a website URL. The problem isn't the ideas, it's the format. The Auto Content API is designed to take that raw asset, let's say a technical manual, and programmatically transform it into every other format.
Audio, video, social snippets.
All of it, without a human ever hitting record.
So the mission for this deep dive is to figure out if that's actually possible or if it just results in a lot of, spam. We're going to look at the tech, the economics, which are frankly startling, and the implications for the internet.
And honestly, whether this changes the definition of what a media company actually is?
Let's start with audio because recently Google made some waves with Notebook LM. I played around with it a bit.
Me too.
You upload a PDF and it generates this startlingly realistic podcast with two AI hosts bantering back and forth. It was
It
impressive.
was a massive aha moment for the industry, wasn't it? It proved that synthetic voice doesn't have to sound robotic anymore. It can sound human.
With interruptions and breath and nuance, yeah.
Exactly.
But looking at the documentation for this Auto Content API, they seem to be taking shots at Notebook LM. They're calling it a consumer toy. Is that fair?
It's a bit harsh, but technically they have a point. Notebook LM is an island.
What do you mean?
You have to manually drag and drop a file. You can't build a business on it because you can't automate it. Auto Content API is positioning itself as the Notebook LM API alternative. It's built for the enterprise.
Meaning you can plug it into your existing systems.
Precisely. It's all about inputs and outputs. On the input side, this API can ingest almost anything. You can feed it a list of URLs, complex PDF reports, YouTube videos,
Or just raw
or
text.
raw text.
Yeah.
And on the output side, it generates broadcast-ready audio.
Okay, when you say broadcast ready, are we talking about a raw WAV file? I still have to edit.
No, and that's the key. It produces MP3s complete with ID3 tags, cover art, and it can even update your RSS feed. It manages the whole infrastructure for you.
Okay, but let's talk quality. Because if I'm a brand, I can't have a robotic GPS sounding voice representing me.
Right. The sources indicate it uses advanced voice cloning and multi-speaker dynamics. It simulates two AI agents having a conversation, sort of like what we're doing right now.
And why two? Why not just have one voice read the text?
It's all about retention. The data is pretty clear on this. Listening to a monologue, someone just reading a script, is hard work for the brain.
Right, you tune out.
You tune out. A dynamic back-and-forth dialogue keeps the listener engaged much, much longer. It mimics the flow of a radio show.
There's a specific use case in the docs that really caught my eye. They call it the CEO paradox.
Oh, absolutely. This is a classic marketing struggle. Every company wants their CEO to be the face and voice of the brand.
Because customers trust people, not logos.
Exactly. But the CEO is arguably the busiest person in the entire building.
Right. You can't just ask them to block out 3 hours every Thursday to record a podcast. It's not going to happen.
It never happens. They cancel. The show dies. Marketing gets frustrated. The API solves this with cloning. The CEO records their voice just once.
Just once.
Maybe 10 minutes of reading a script to get the intonation right. The API then creates a high-fidelity clone of their voice.
And then?
From that point on, the marketing team can generate daily CEO updates or market thoughts. The CEO never steps into a studio again. But to the market and to the employees, the CEO is present every single day.
That's a little dystopian, but I can see how effective it is.
It's leverage. You're scaling presence without scaling effort. And think about internal communications. The sources mentioned creating a private podcast network.
For employees.
Yes. Think about the average compliance manual or a quarterly report. It's like 50 pages of dense text. Who reads that?
Nobody. I skim the bold headlines and I hope for the best.
Exactly. But what if you can feed that PDF into the API and generate a 10-minute engaging audio summary that employees can listen to on their commute? Suddenly, you have knowledge transfer happening in a way that actually fits into people's lives. It turns homework into a radio show.
Okay, I can see the utility there.
Right?
But we can't talk about content without talking about the big one, video.
Right.
The sources cite a stat that by 2025, video is going to be something like 82% of all internet traffic.
It's the dominant medium, period.
Right.
We are visual creatures. But video also has the highest barrier to entry of any format.
Especially short form. TikTok, Reels, YouTube Shorts. The algorithm there is just brutal. It demands volume.
Mm-hmm. You need to be posting, what, 3 to 5 times a day to really grow? Who has the time for that?
No one.
And that's where the Video Create Shorts endpoint comes in. The documentation calls this the engine for the faceless channel.
Faceless channel. That sounds a bit ominous. What does that actually mean?
It just refers to channels that don't rely on a specific human being physically on camera. The API takes a script. Or generates one from a blog post and creates a 9.16 vertical video.
But it's not just stock footage.
No, it includes AI avatars.
Avatars? Like cartoons?
No, photorealistic AI presenters.
Yeah.
The sources emphasize diversity here, so you can choose different avatars to match your brand or even create custom ones. It handles all the lip syncing and, crucially, the auto-generated subtitles.
Which are mandatory since most people watch on mute.
Right.
So you could technically run a TikTok channel without ever filming a single frame of video yourself.
You absolutely could.
But is it affordable? Because video editing is not cheap.
This is where we need to talk about cost arbitrage. Mm-hmm. Let's just break down the math. If you hire a freelancer to edit a high-quality short, you know, ad captions, B-roll, nice cuts, it might cost you anywhere from $50 to $300 per video.
Easily. Yeah, $300 is pretty standard for a really polished clip.
Now look at the API pricing. The sources estimate an API-generated short uses about 400 credits. On their business plan, that translates to roughly 4 euros.
4 euros versus $300.
That is a nearly 100x reduction in cost. And that changes how you operate. If a video costs you $300, you have to be so precious about
it. You have to hope it works.
Right.
Yeah.
But if a video costs you 4 euros, you can afford to fail. You can do creative testing at scale.
100 different concepts.
100 different video concepts, see which one goes viral, and then just double down on that format. Yeah. You simply cannot do that if every video costs you a car payment to produce.
There's another video type mentioned here that I think is less about going viral, but maybe more valuable for the B2B crowd. The explainer video.
Yes. This is bottom of the funnel stuff. Think about a SaaS company. They usually have a documentation site, hundreds of pages explaining how to use every little feature.
Dry as toast. Nobody wants to read that.
But they have to. Mm. The API allows you to crawl that documentation site and then generate a 60-second explainer video for every single feature page.
Wait. So if I have 500 pages of documentation, I can instantly have 500 videos.
Instantly. Yes.
Yeah.
And just consider the SEO impact. Dwell time. How long someone stays on your page
right. Is
a huge ranking factor for Google.
Okay.
You put a video at the top of a help article, people stop to watch it, your dwell time goes up, your ranking goes up. and it reduces support tickets.
Because people would much rather watch a one-minute video than read a technical manual.
Of course.
Okay, I have to play the skeptic here for a second. I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, this sounds great, but we're talking about generating massive amounts of content with AI, and we all know the dirty little secret of AI.
Hallucinations.
It just makes things up. If I'm a serious business, let's say I'm in finance or healthcare, I can't have my AI podcast host inventing facts. One slip up and I get sued.
That is the number one fear for enterprise adoption.
Yeah.
And the sources address this directly with something called the deep research endpoint.
How is that different from just asking ChatGPT to write a blog post?
It's fundamentally different in its architecture. A standard LLM prompt is just a prediction machine. It's predicting the next word based on training data that might be 2 years old.
It's guessing.
The deep research endpoint works differently. It uses agents.
Agents.
They are autonomous scripts powered by models like Gemini or OpenAI, but they are given tools. They can browse the live web.
So it's actually going out and reading current sources?
Yes, and reputable sources. The Financial Times, SEC.gov, niche industry reports, and it cross-references them. And crucially, it doesn't just vomit out a blob of text. It provides structured output with citations and confidence scores.
So it shows its work.
Exactly. If the confidence score is low, you don't publish. This makes it safe for B2B. You can actually verify where the information came from.
That seems like it unlocks some really interesting workflows. If it can research, can it monitor?
That's the recurring research feature. You can set up monitoring tasks, for example, scan for new competitors in the AI space every 24 hours.
Oh, wow. That is powerful.
The API runs that search, synthesizes the findings, and can auto-generate a briefing document or even an audio summary for the executive team. It's like having a dedicated market research analyst working 24/7.
Who never sleeps and costs pennies.
Right.
This connects directly to another concept in the sources called newsjacking.
I love this term. Newsjacking is all about speed. It's the art of injecting your brand into a breaking news story.
Right. If a big event happens in your industry, the first people to comment on it get all the traffic.
But usually the human process is just too slow. By the time you notice the news, call a meeting, write a script, record it.
It's 2 days later. The moment has passed.
Exactly. Manual production is too slow. The Auto Content API integrates with data feeds from X and Reddit. It can detect a trending keyword. Let's say, crypto crash.
Okay, so the system sees crypto crash is trending. Then what?
Then the workflow kicks in automatically. It triggers the deep research agent to understand why the crash is happening. Maybe a regulation change in Asia.
Yeah.
It analyzes sentiment. Then it generates a script and produces a market alert video.
And how long does that take? From detection to having a video?
The sources claim the video can be ready to post within 5 minutes.
5 minutes? That's faster than I can brew a coffee.
It moves marketing from planned editorial calendars, which are weeks in advance, to real-time reaction loops.
You aren't just participating in the conversation, you are framing it.
You're framing it because you're the first one there with a polished asset explaining what's happening.
I want to zoom out a bit and talk about SEO, because there is a strategy mentioned here called programmatic SEO, or PSEO. I've always heard this is a bit of a gray area.
It can be. PSEO is a high-risk, high-reward strategy. The idea is to create thousands of landing pages to capture long-tail search traffic. Think of a travel site wanting to rank for weekend getaway in Austin, weekend getaway in Dallas.
And so on. And the problem historically has been thin content, right? Google hates that.
They will penalize you for it. If you just copy-paste the same page 5,000 times and just swap the city name, you're in trouble. You need unique, valuable content on every page.
But writing 5,000 unique guides is impossible for a human team.
Right. So this is how the multimedia aspect changes the risk profile. The Auto Content API can create a rich asset stack for every single one of those 5,000 pages.
So for the Austin page.
The Deep Research API writes a unique 500-word guide about Austin. The Podcast API creates a unique Austin City Guide episode. The Video API creates a top 5 things to do in Austin vertical video.
So suddenly that page isn't thin anymore. It has unique text, audio, and video, all specific to that location.
And that signals quality to Google. It increases time on page. You're winning on brute force of quality.
There is also an instant globalization aspect to this.
This is massive for expanding your total addressable market. The API supports over 50 languages.
So if I'm a US company, I don't need to hire a local team in Germany to launch there.
No. You can set up a workflow where every time you publish a post in English, the API automatically transcribes it, translates it, and resynthesizes the audio and video into German, Spanish, Japanese instantly.
That feels like magic. You are multiplying your reach by 5x or 10x overnight without hiring a single translator.
It really is an industrial engine.
But let's talk about the nuts and bolts for a second. How do people actually use this?
Yeah.
Because we keep saying API, which, you know, it scares off a lot of marketing people.
That's fair. The sources emphasize an API-first philosophy. Tools like Jasper or ChatGPT are UI-first. They are built for humans to sit at a computer and click buttons.
Right.
Auto content is headless.
Headless content production. What does that mean for the non-techies out there?
It means it's designed to run in the background. You don't log into a website to make the content. Hmm. You write code or use no-code tools like Make.com or Zapier to trigger the content.
So I could build a workflow that says, when a new row is added to this Google Sheet, generate a podcast and email it to me.
Exactly. You build the machine, turn it on, and you walk away. It becomes infrastructure. It runs while you sleep.
We touched on the cost earlier with the video example, but I want to look at the credit model economics a bit closer. Because usually enterprise means expensive.
It's designed to be flexible. You have plans ranging from an amateur level at 24 euros a month to high volume at 166 nines a month. But the unit economics are what really matter.
Okay.
A podcast episode costs between 10 cents and 2 euros in credits.
That is basically free compared to human production.
And that low cost is what unlocks the long tail ROI. This is a crucial concept.
Explain that.
Well, if a piece of content costs you $500 to produce, you need to get thousands of views to make your money back. You can only target big, popular keywords.
You can't make a video for a keyword that only gets 10 searches a month. You'd go broke.
Right. But if a piece of content costs you 10 cents, it only needs to get one click or generate one lead to be profitable.
So you can target those tiny, niche keywords that nobody else is bothering with.
Exactly. You can carpet bomb the entire long tail of search terms. Areas that were previously not worth the effort suddenly become profitable revenue streams.
It's amazing how much this just changes the entire math of marketing.
It really does. It shifts content from being an unpredictable creative expense, where you cross your fingers and hope, to a predictable technology investment.
So let's try to summarize all of this. We've covered a lot of ground. It seems like there are three main growth levers here.
I think so. First, hyperscalability. You can move from weekly publishing to hourly publishing across audio, video, and text.
You're just removing the human bottleneck.
Completely. Second is radical efficiency.
Right. You are dropping production costs by orders of magnitude cents instead of hundreds of dollars.
Which allows for testing and high volume strategies that were just impossible before.
And third is omnichannel ubiquity.
Being everywhere. Spotify, YouTube, Google search, TikTok simultaneously. Mm. Without needing four different departments to do it.
The sources mention one final thing about the future of the web, the agentic web. We hear this buzzword a lot. How does this API fit into that?
This is where we are heading. The web is evolving from a place where humans read content to a place where AI agents read content to answer human questions.
Okay.
Think about when you ask an AI a question. Where does it get the answer?
From the data it reads online.
Right. But AI agents struggle with messy, unstructured data. By using this API to generate structured data, transcripts, and rich media, you are essentially preparing your brand for that future.
You're making your content easy for the agents to read.
And serve up to users. Mm-hmm. It's not just about humans finding you on Google anymore. It's about the AI finding you and citing you.
It's future-proofing.
Precisely. For an era where the primary consumer of your content might not be a human at all.
That is slightly terrifying, but fascinating.
It's the reality of where the tech is going.
This has been a massive deep dive, and I want to leave you with a thought to chew on as you go back to your day.
Let's hear it.
We've talked about how this technology drops the barrier to content creation to basically zero. If anyone can create high-quality audio and video instantly, then the competitive advantage isn't making the content anymore.
Right. That race is over.
It's not about the asset anymore. The advantage is designing the workflows that trigger it. The creativity moves from the writing to the architecture.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, are you still trying to build a media company the old way? Or are you ready to build a media machine?
That is the question.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.